The Ghost Rap Podcast is brought to you by Forvis Mazars, an internationally integrated partnership operating in over 100 countries and territories, including South Africa, delivering audit and assurance, tax advisory, and consulting services to clients. Please note that everything you hear in this podcast is my own opinion, not the view of Forvis Mazars. Some months are trickier than others when it comes to picking the key themes to cover in this podcast. Luckily, January 2025 was rather obvious though, the retail sector. If my little ghosts had come into this year holding a basket of local retail stocks, they would definitely be telling me about their owie, and I'm afraid that neither a kiss nor a plaster would fix it. The clothing retailers really bore the brunt of the sell-off, with Woolworths as the best of a bad bunch, down 4%. Let's face it, that's only because of the food side of the business, which makes Woolworths actually quite hard to classify in terms of its true peer group. Truworths, that's down 17% thus far this year, deservedly holding the wooden spoon in the sector. The Fashini Group, not far behind, down 16%, and Mr. Price has been dealt a rather harsh hand, I think, down nearly 14%, despite releasing strong sales numbers. Pepkor, that's down 7%, and that's also despite releasing really strong numbers. It is a bloodbath out there. On the food side, with Woolworths once more included here for completeness, if you're looking at the share price chart that's on the Ghostmail website, you'll see the defensive nature of these stocks shining through. The market is still strongly in support of the Boxer story, with a flat performance there despite some pressure in late January. Predictably, ShopRite has suffered less than its peers, other than Boxer, but still in the red. And Spar has had a tough start to the year, and Pick n Pay, well, that's been pretty similar as well. Not shown on either of those charts on the Ghostmail website or mentioned thus far is Lewis, with a decline of just 0.9%. Yes, when it comes to the retailers, only Boxer has beaten Lewis thus far in 2025, and how many people would have guessed that coming into this year? In clothing, the tide is out and we can now well and truly see who has been swimming naked. Truworths, I'm afraid, is the worst of the lot, with Truworths Africa down 1.1% for the 26 weeks to 31 December. Sure, they may have achieved 9.9% growth in Office UK, measured in rands, but Truworths Africa is still two-thirds of group revenue, and we know how fickle the UK retail market can be, so banking on sustainable growth in the UK is a risky game, and the market clearly shares that view because the share price has been punished for their tepid growth in Truworths Africa. For the 26 weeks to 29 December 2024, Truworths expects headline earnings per share to be between 4% and 8% down, and that, I'm afraid, is poor. The Fashini Group is better than Truworths, but is in no position to be looking smug here either. Although we have to be careful here because we're not looking at exactly the same reporting periods, TFG Africa grew 5.3% for the quarter and just 2.2% thus far in their financial year, so that is better than Truworths at least, but still not amazing. TFG London, that was up 45.5% for the quarter and 7.2% for the financial year to date, and those percentages are also in ZAR, by the way, so they are seeing some joy in that market at least. Much like Truworths, things do seem to be going well in the UK right now. As for TFG Australia though, the quarter saw a decrease of 3% and their financial year-to-date performance is a decrease of 5.2%. The trouble is that TFG Australia is slightly bigger than TFG London, at least for now. So that drop offset much of the happiness in the UK, and therefore the group sales result was just 1.6% growth year-to-date. Yes, the third quarter saw growth of 8.4%, so there is some positive momentum there for sure, but it is still nothing amazing. We now move on to Mr. Price though, which is where things do start to get a bit better. They do have a strong story to tell for the 13 weeks to 28 December 2024. Credit sales, they were up 5.7%, but that's not even the highlight. No, the highlight is definitely cash sales, up 11.1%. Mr. Price has won market share for 6 consecutive quarters, and they even achieved the recent growth at a higher gross margin than in the comparable period. They came into this year priced for perfection in their share price, and that was really after a huge rally in 2024 that certainly caught me by surprise. The recent sell-off is more a function of that valuation, I think, than the recent results, which were strong. And finally, Pepkor. In my opinion, the best story of the lot. The two major segments both put in solid high single-digit growth, and FinTech was up a delightful 35% for the 3 months to December 2024. Pep and Ackermans, the key banners in that group, they both put in strong performances, and that's exactly why FinTech also did well, because these things work so closely together. In fact, Pepkor refers to it as a credit interoperability strategy. Tongue twisters aside, it works and it works well. The disappointment in Pepkor was Avenida, the Brazilian business that I'm enjoying keeping an eye on. Like-for-like sales fell 2.7% and they do need to get that thing back on track. Still, it's a small negative in an otherwise powerful result, and the good news at Avenida is that sales have improved in 2025. We now move on to Woolworths as the hybrid option. Sometimes I wonder whether they will ever spin out their food business and list it separately. I don't think it will happen because the operations are intertwined with the clothing side of the business, but it's still a nice dream. It's certainly a far superior business to what they have in fashion, beauty and home, or what they call FBH. For the 26 weeks to 29 December, Woolworths Food was up 9% excluding the acquisition of Absolute Pets, so that is a really decent performance there. FBH could only manage 2.5%, which puts them ahead of Truworths, admittedly, but that's not much of a benchmark, and pretty much nobody else. In fact, it might even be worse than that because FBH's growth was down to a paltry 0.9% in the last 8 weeks of 2024, so it just got worse and worse. For 2 years in a row, they've been blaming supply chain issues at Woolworths. And look, if festive season supply chains keep catching you by surprise, then I'm not sure retail is the right sector for you, bluntly. It's becoming almost a little bit embarrassing now to keep blaming these external factors while they underperform competitors. And it just keeps getting worse in Australia as well, where Country Road Group had sales down 6.2% for the period. So the same pressures that we're seeing at the Fashini Group in terms of their Australian exposure also playing out at Woolworths. If food and FBH were listed separately, I think the share price chart would look like the two lions had a terrible fight and never wanted to speak to each other again. Such would be the speed at which they head in opposite directions. As we move into grocery retail, it's clear that Shoprite still leads here. The giant of local supermarket retail just keeps reminding us why they are so respected. For the 6 months to 29 December 2024, their sales from continuing operations increased 9.6%. Supermarkets RSA, that was good for 10.4%. And if you dig even deeper, you find Checkers and Checkers Hyper up 13.5%. So that is a particularly strong outperformance, even versus Woolworths Food as their arch rival. Never mind the rest of the sector. ShopRite and USave, that's the lower income formats, they were up 6.7%. And that's still impressive, albeit much slower than Checkers and Checkers Hyper. This means that growth is happening in the right place from a margin perspective. And I do expect to see a juicy jump in headline earnings per share when ShopRite releases its results on the 4th of March. Hot off the press, there's also an update from Pick n Pay. Although it's now strictly part of February, it would really be silly not to include it here as we focus on retail. Pick n Pay managed like-for-like sales growth in the 19 weeks to 5 January of 3%. Now, that is an improvement on where they were, of course, but it's still miles below ShopRite, and you also have to remember that Pick n Pay is closing supermarkets, so the like-for-like growth metric is probably the most flattering view of the business. It's also the most important one, but believe me, they're not opening stores. You can't add growth on top of that to get the full view. Within the Pick n Pay segment, we find Pick n Pay clothing with like-for-like growth of 3.6%, so even that's not much of a growth engine anymore, it seems. Over at Boxer, which of course is now separately listed, having been cut free from Pick n Pay, we see like-for-like growth of 5.5% over the 19 weeks to 5 January and total growth of 10.8% as the store footprint is still expanding. Boxer is the food retailer that is capable of keeping ShopRite on its toes, albeit in only one customer vertical. And in case you're wondering, there's no sales update from Spar. All we know is that the nightmare in Poland has come to an end, and they've effectively paid the buyer 2.67 billion rand to drag the carcass away, and good riddance to it. We end on a positive note with Lewis. I cannot bucket them in with the clothing retailers or the supermarket retailers, even though there's some overlap at category level or with specific divisions, for example, the furniture piece of ShopRite that's currently being sold to Pepkor. Lewis deserves to stand on its own here, particularly after their recent update. You see, merchandise sales have been heading higher. For the third quarter, they were 9.9%, and that's a great acceleration from 7.7% in the first quarter and 9.3% in the second quarter. This drives income and ancillary services revenue. So the overall group result was revenue growth of 13.6% over the 9 months to December. Suddenly, Lewis is putting its hand up as a growth stock rather than a value stock. Much like at Mr. Price, the big jump at the end of the year was in cash sales. I think that tells us a fair bit about where the two-pot withdrawals went. After all, this is furniture we are talking about, suddenly paid for with cash. This is the one obvious caution that I'll leave you with. Double-digit cash sales at Lewis almost certainly are not sustainable. But still, Lewis really deserves to do well after years of solid execution and great capital allocation decisions. Bravo. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.